know what's coming. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Jesus lives. Dear church, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from the living Jesus. Amen. Easter Sunday. This is big, really big, right? And I suppose there's a temptation that we've been through Easter's and the clothes and the food and the special treats and all the rest of it, that somehow we miss the craziness, the just startling amazement that the folks who witnessed that first Easter must have felt, the confusion. Wow. So how does a preacher do justice to the central teaching of our faith, of the Christian faith, that in the words of Peter's sermon that we heard, they put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all people, but to the folks he chose to be witnesses. And how does a preacher do justice to the claim, to that kind of amazing news, so contrary to our experiences in a secular society and in a society that seems to move farther and farther away from God? Right? And how do, and a society also that distrusts anyone who claims to know the truth, especially the church, I guess they think of the church as, you know, the big institution, but we know, and boy, we were taught by the pandemic, the church is what? People, right? Us. That we are the ones called to proclaim that wonderful message, just as Mary Magdalene and the other witnesses of the resurrection. Well, I don't stay up late very often. But I know. But I do like to watch Stephen Colbert occasionally. I usually end up watching him on YouTube because I don't stay awake long enough to get to the Late Show, right? And one of the things that he does that's kind of interesting, I think, is he has a questionnaire that he gives questions, interesting, challenging questions, to his guests. I don't know if any of you have seen that. You can check it on YouTube also, or stay up late and watch him. But his questionnaire, he asks them questions like, what are your favorite things? Like, what's your favorite sandwich? Or what's your favorite action film? Or who is your favorite star besides yourself? Because often he's interviewing famous people. Are you a dog person or a cat person? And actually, he also occasionally asks the question. Colbert is a practicing Roman Catholic Christian. He asks, so what do you think happens when we die? Woo, there's a question to kind of make people silent at the water cooler at work tomorrow, huh? So what do you think happens when we die? Woo, I don't want to think about it. And he gets all kinds of answers. And I guess a religious Joe like me is kind of curious about how people respond to this. A few of the folks who you would recognize, like Prince Harry, answered this way. I think we become animals. Really? Was that what they taught you in church? Colbert clarified. You mean, like, you believe in reincarnation? Yeah, I think so, he replied. Okay. George Clooney. You know, I know, not personally, but you know him, right? Clooney spoke about he also was raised in the church, but left that all behind. But, you know, as I get older, Clooney said, kind of chuckling a little, kind of a nervous chuckle, I start renegotiating things a little bit. And you start thinking, well, maybe there is something that happens. Colbert's, I guess, often get very uncomfortable, this kind of question. Sometimes they speak about their bodies decaying. Others simply express a wish to go somewhere beautiful. Michelle Obama, way to go, Michelle, said without hesitation, "We go to heaven." Bono, the rock star, right? Police, who also is a very active, practicing Christian and does a lot of charitable events specifically because of his faith, and we'll tell you that, said, "We are born. I actually believe that we're born when we begin. These," meaning this life, "these are the labor pains of the birth." I think Bono was thinking of the verse from Romans 8 in the back of his mind. "We know that the whole creation is groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the whole creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies." I think he gave a wonderful testimony to this worldwide audience, huh? And there's others. You might find them interesting to see responses. Bono, like Colbert, and Prince Harry, actually, all lost parents at a young age. They all went through turmoil. But Bono also especially grew up in Ireland at a time that was called the Troubles. That was a time when Catholic Christians and Protestant Christians were actually fighting in the streets and killing one another, and bombings of churches, schools, were common occurrences. Imagine, right? And through all of that trouble, Bono ended up getting more anchored in his faith. Now remember that the Christian faith is not only about what happens when we die, but on this day in particular, and among us, the people who follow Jesus, and where we find, and on Easter Sunday, wherever we find ourselves, right? That in this room, there are folks who are definitely devoted to Jesus and love him, and there are others who may have their doubts, and there are others who, God, well, it's Easter, I guess I should show up. You know, wherever you're at, right? Wherever you're at, this is the day to be reminded that death doesn't get the final answer. And I hope you don't walk out of here without knowing that and carrying that with you. Amen? Amen. Right? But also, this day is about life. And it's not just about life after this life is over. It's about life here and now, too. Jesus came that we might have life, abundant life. And people debate, and a lot of ink has been spilt on what that all means. But an abundant life also means life here and now. Christian faith does have something to say to the question of what happens after we die. We of all people should know that. Christians do not shy away from the fact that we are mortal. I die. You die. Ooh, ouch, Pastor. I need a good message. It's coming, right? But we know that. We know that. We know our need for a Savior. We know our need. And God knows our need and comes to us and sends God's own self in Jesus. God's own self, born in a stable, living in dusty roads, working at a carpenter's bench, murdered by state-sanctioned violence, laid in a tomb where I should lay, and lives. Wow. This is our faith. And I think one of the temptations and challenges on an Easter Sunday is we domesticate that message, don't we? It's like we forget how radical and crazy and contrary to our experiences that is, isn't it? Right? That the women in the gospel we heard this morning, right? They stumble. Who is this guy? Oh! I mean, imagine how that would disorient you. Imagine in the gospel from John that we heard earlier this morning, how Mary Magdalene at first thinks Jesus is the gardener, because it just doesn't fit that this should be Jesus. Wow. And the same Jesus who lives, this Jesus who breaks our expectations and shatters the power of death, does this for you and for me. And we now live in this in-between time, waiting for his return, and yet we are called to live the resurrection here and now. We started the journey of Lent with ashes on our forehead, with words like, remember that you were dust. And we have symbolically, the last 6 weeks, walked with Jesus to the cross, to the tomb, and now the tomb is empty. What did that mean for those disciples of Jesus who first saw him alive again, right? What did that mean for them? Do you think their life changed a bit? I imagine so. Those 12 disciples, I've often repeated this because it's very powerful to my heart, and I hope it speaks to your heart also. Those 12 disciples, as far as we know, except for John, they all give their life for what they saw. These same guys who abandoned Jesus in the garden, whoops, run for it, right? These same guys, we'll hear next week, who are locked in a room so that the authorities won't find them, will go out and turn the world upside down, as Luke says in Acts. Will go out and are not afraid. These same guys who were afraid to be arrested in the garden will go out and give their lives. Unfortunately, we don't know a lot about all the women. We know a few who also gave their lives. Their testimony. So, dear church, what is our testimony? How will you and I live the resurrection now, here, right? Jesus also says he goes to prepare a place for us, there and then. But Jesus also calls us to here be community for one another, to here be his hands, his feet, his voice, to be witnesses of the resurrection and what that means. I do not need to fear even death. I don't need to be afraid of anything. I am set free. Perfect love casts out fear. That perfect love of God has set you and me free. We do not need to even fear death. And that is supposed to set us free and empower us to love and serve as Jesus did and does. That he is among us now and calls you to share in the wonderful joy and honor of that ministry, of the ministry that he leaves to his followers. Because I know that death doesn't get the final word. Because I know that because Jesus lives, we shall live. I can risk. I can risk to love. I can risk to fail. I can risk and forgive. I can risk and be a different person. And so can you. Well, we are often, all during Lent, we've talked about God's call and how we live in this in-between time, the now and the yet to come. We are called in many different ways. We are called to be part of the beloved community here. Jesus will call you and me to resurrection. This is our radical faith. We are people of life. We are people of resurrection. We are people of hope, even in the most desperate circumstances. Because we know that death does not have the final word. And knowing that, we are called to live the resurrection, to live a life of healing, forgiveness, of building community. Because Jesus lives, we look for God to bring joy even in our sorrows. Because Jesus lives, we look for God indeed bringing hope out of despair. Because Jesus lives, we know that God brings life out of death. We know that our Redeemer lives, and at the last, Christ will stand upon the earth, and we shall see God. Alleluia. Amen. And now we truly live in the space in between. No longer, not yet, but no longer does death have the final word. Not yet is this fully realized in this unfinished time. How will you and I write the rest of the story here? Will people see the living Jesus in you and in me? I pray so. In this unfinished time, we who are marked with the cross and sealed with the Spirit live our lives practicing resurrection every day. We dwell as the presence of Christ in the middle of this broken and hurting world. We proclaim the good news of God, whose love is unconditional, unending. Did you hear Peter? He accepts people, all people, right? That the good news is for everyone. We proclaim the good news of God, whose love indeed is striving after you and me. We strive for justice and peace in all the earth, in all that we do, in all that we say, in all that we are. In and through it all, Jesus, back from the grave, risen to die no more, goes ahead of us. In the text in Matthew this morning, he says, "Go meet me in Galilee. I will be there ahead of you." And I always like to think, and I hope this is helpful for you, that wherever I go, God's already there, right? I don't need to be afraid. Jesus is already there. He goes ahead of us. He has even walked through death for us and brings us life. In and through it all, Jesus, back from the grave, dies no more, giving us assurance that there is nowhere we will go where Jesus is not there with us, and nothing we will experience that Jesus will not experience too. Name of our church, Emmanuel, right? You all know what it means, right? What does it mean? God with us, right? And when I get up here most every time, I say, "The Lord be with you," and several times during the service we say that. That's proclaiming the gospel. God is with you. Jesus, the living Jesus, is with you, with me. With this hope and this promise, we daily live this unfinished life, trusting that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God, we too will walk in a new life, day in, day out, until the not yet is no longer, and we will be as God promised. The challenge of the preacher: to make the message we have heard alive again. It's really the work of the Spirit, isn't it? And for each of you, for me, may the time we have been spent here listening again to the good news that Jesus lives empower us to live the resurrection. You are called to resurrection. You are called to life. Amen. Praise God. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Amen.